God restores, doesn't he? Yes, he does. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you.
You're not running away yet. Doug, come on up here. You join me in prayer for Cindy. He's a God who restores, you know. One of the things that's been happening here in the last month is that there's some people who you were here for a while, and now you're back again. It's been a weird thing, but it's kind of a place where God is calling people back. And that's what God does, is he breaks down the walls, and he restores his family. And we want to just pray for Cindy, too. So, Doug, would you pray for her and pray that God just continues to do the good work he's doing?
Well, Father, thank you so much for who you are. Yeah. You're a gracious, tender, compassionate, faithful God.
Amazing God.
Your faithful love endures forever, and it's never going to end. You say in your word that you'll restore the hearts of the fathers to the hearts of the children, and the hearts of the children to the hearts of the fathers.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for restoring Cindy's daughter
to
her Lord.
Yes,
you're amazing, God. When you do things like that, you're amazing, and it just testifies of your very nature, your incredible nature of love and faith and power. Thank you, God. Continue to just restore them together to Cindy, and just restore our hearts to you, Father, because you love us.
Yeah.
For the undying, incredible, amazing laying down your life for love. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Isn't God good?
All the time.
You know what? He's a God who does miracles. That's a miracle. And you know what God does in even in Paul's life, bringing him back here, that's a miracle. God's working. And if you've come here today and you've been desperate and you go, I need a miracle. I need something to change in my life. Something's got to be different because this is not going to last the way things are going. You're in the right place, not because it's Potter's Hands, but because this is the church that is Jesus' church.
Amen.
Jesus is the Lord. And he wants to bring you closer to him. He wants to heal you. Amen. He wants to restore your marriage or restore what's broken. And he wants you to know that he's in control.
Amen.
I want to just say that again because I really sense that that's a message that needs to penetrate someone's heart here today, that God's really in control.
Amen.
And even if your life seems out of whack and chaotic, God is in control.
Amen.
God watches over you.
Thank you, Jesus.
God watches over you. I want you to know, I believe that God wants you to know right now that he has a plan for you. He says, I got a purpose for you. I got a plan and a purpose. And here's what God says. If you will walk with me, I will never leave your side. If you will just walk with me. Amen. If you will be faithful to me, you can trust this. I am always faithful to you. And you've been trying to go all kinds of other places to find the answer to your problem. You've gone to the bottle. You've gone to the bingo hall. You've gone to the casino. You've gone to all kinds of places to try to hide or try to cover this up or to try to find something that you're missing in your life. And you're going to the wrong place. You need to come. You need to come to me. I am your Jesus. I am the only one who can get you out of this mess. I'm the only one. Shay, you want to come up here? So good to see Shay here. You better bring your wife and your little daughter too, yeah.
Good to be home. I think it's been 4 or 5 years since last I was here. And I just want to bless the name of the Lord. The last time I was in Potter's Hands, not this building, another building, the last building you were, I used to sit at the back usually. I didn't have these glasses. Now I have glasses, but more important than that, I have a wife and I have a baby. And even more important than that, I still have my Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 And I just want to bless you. I just want to appreciate each one of you. You're doing a great work here. It's a great work that the Lord has given into your hands. I think you're taking it seriously. I think you're being such a blessing to Red Deer. not only to this town, but I think that your glory is going to shine beyond here. I really believe that. The glory of Potter's hands cannot be covered. That glory is going to shine. And I have a word for you today. There is no glory without grace. Nobody gets glory without grace. The word of God says the Lord will bless the righteous with glory and with grace. So there is always glory, but before glory, there will be grace. And you need that grace to get to where you are going. I see you holding on to the cross of Jesus. I see you holding on tightly to him. And because of that, your glory will come in the name of Jesus. Darkness, sorrow may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I see that happening to somebody here today. And the word of God says, this is to somebody here this morning, John chapter 6. I will read just a few verses, maybe 3 verses or so. It says, for the bread of God is he that comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. And he that believes on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. Oh, listen to this one. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. And him or her that comes to me, I will no wise cast out. It will never cast you out. It will never leave you alone. And there's a word for somebody. And that word is, there is no need for you praying for long life if you have eternal life. Eternal life is better than long life. And that is what Jesus has come to give you. That spirit that lives in you can never die. Do you remember what Jesus said at the tomb of Lazarus? He said, whoever believes in me will never die. Amen. Even though he dies, he shall live again. Yeah. He said, don't worry about long life. I have you covered. Yeah. That's what Jesus is saying to you today. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Bless you. Thank you, Pastor Stan. You're so great. Thank you.
Do we have fun or what? You know, the cool thing is that, you know, Shay was here 4 years ago, and he planted some seeds here. And Shay, I hope you recognize that God blesses those seeds, right?
Amen. Yeah.
Right? Amen. Right? I mean, some of the seeds were planted 4 years ago. Some were planted 7 years ago. And some of the seeds are being planted right now today. You're planting those seeds. You are seed planters, and you are harvesters in the kingdom of God.
That's right.
And sometimes we don't see what's going on until something like this happens. What is your daughter's name?
Afia.
Afia.
And she's a worshiper.
She's a worshiper.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, God. Is God good?
All the time.
We're going to sing one more song. And this is just a song of devotion and a song of love. And maybe it seems a little bit odd that we say, you know, I love you, Lord. It shouldn't.
Right.
I love God with all my heart. The Bible says that we need to love him with our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength. And this is what this song says. Thank you, Jesus. Lover of my soul, I want to tell you, only you have all of me. I cannot contain my adoration, I'm in love so desperately. No one is as loving as you are. There is no one else who has my heart. Jesus, you have me completely. Every breath that I breathe, I am absolutely in love. Jesus, I am yours forever. All of me surrenders. I am absolutely in love with you.
Just open your hearts and love them. lover of my soul. I want to tell you, only you have all of me. And I cannot contain my adoration. I'm in love so desperately. No one is as lovely as you are. There is no one else who has my heart. Jesus, you have me completely. Every breath that I breathe, I am absolutely in love. Jesus, I am yours forever. All of me surrenders. I am absolutely in love. Jesus, Jesus, you have me completely. Every breath that I breathe, I am absolutely in love. Jesus, I am yours forever. All of me surrenders. I am absolutely in love.
Worship God.
Breath that I breathe, I am absolutely in love. Jesus, I am yours forever. All of me surrenders. I am absolutely in love with you. Jesus, you have me completely. Every breath that I breathe, I am absolutely in love. Jesus, I am yours forever. All of me surrender. I am absolutely in love. Jesus, you have me completely. Every breath that I breathe, I am absolutely in love. Jesus, I am yours forever. All of me surrenders. I am absolutely in love with you.
Father, we are in love with you. God, every breath that we take comes straight from you. And God, today we just want to receive from you, Lord. We want to receive a word. Lord, help us to hear you. Lord, help our hearts to be soft, God. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is in this place right now, God. And I pray that this will be a time of us just seeking you and being one with you, being drawn to the Father's throne. And so, God, I just pray for Stan, Lord. I pray that you will bless him, that you will help him to speak the words that you have for us to hear. And, Lord, help us to hear them. Thank you, God, for every breath that you give us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I love that Psalm 103, and it talks about how, you know, God doesn't forget. I mean, he forgets our sins, but he doesn't forget the benefits. He gives us benefits, and I won't forget what God has done. It's what the psalmist says. I won't forget, God. I won't forget how great you are, and you are worthy of our praise, and we bless you, Lord. Thank you, God. We bless the children and the teachers and the leaders that are heading out right now so that our children get some good, solid truth into them. How important is that, right? Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for everything you're doing here. Lord, I already sense that you're healing some hearts and you're touching people, and there's just a presence of God that's powerful and that's anointed and that is special. It isn't something we should take for granted. God's love is thick and it pours out over us today. We're anointed with the love, with the kindness, and with the mercy of God. And we're hearing that message over and over again, that whatever it is, God's got the answer. Whatever your struggle is, whatever your brokenness is, when you come back to Jesus, when you come back to God, you'll find that the pieces start coming back together again, because he's the puzzle maker. He's the puzzle maker. He knows where the pieces belong. We don't. I think it's 10 weeks now into Samuel, and we got one or two more to go. I'm going to spend another time talking about Samuel and the story of Samuel, who grows up in a very corrupt priesthood. He grows up in the house of Eli. Excuse me. And some of you have been here all along. Some of you maybe are just here for the first time. But it's a story of grace. And I like what Shay said, that the grace has to come first. It's a story of grace. It's a story of how God provides for his people, even though they don't deserve it at all. They don't deserve it. They don't deserve to be provided for. There's terrific corruption throughout the whole priesthood. There's all kinds of adultery and fornication, and the priests are stealing the food of the people. They don't care. They don't care about offering it to God. Even though it belongs to God, the priesthood is corrupt. But God raises little Samuel, and he's born to Hannah and Elkanah. They weren't able to have children until they prayed, until Hannah prayed to God, and God allowed her to become pregnant, and she bore a little boy named Samuel. And Samuel is all about grace. He's all about God giving his people freedom and newness, and God saying, I haven't given up on you. I have not given up on you. I am your God. I'm going to stick with you. Right, Rick? It's God saying, here's Samuel. There's still hope. He might only be a little boy, but he hears from me. He hears from me. And out of Samuel will come David, who will be anointed in a few decades. And David will be a man after my own heart, God says. There is hope, O Israel. That's really what God's saying. There's hope. And out of David, out of the house of David, and out of the town where David, Bethlehem, a Savior will be born to you, and he is Christ the Lord. So it's all about, we're going to see this stream. We see that it starts with God saying, there's grace and there's hope, and there's Samuel and there's David and there is Christ. And Christ has come for you. Christ has come so that you can have hope. Isn't that good news? Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 4 today. And as you remember from last week, there was a great loss last week. The Israelites thought they could take the Ark of the Covenant into battle. The most holy and precious Ark, they turned into a weapon of war. And they did exactly what God didn't want them to do. They thought they could control God by doing that. They thought, well, if we take the Ark into battle, you know, God will have no choice. He'll have to allow us to win. But instead, there was great loss. In fact, we're told that 30,000 foot soldiers died that day because of their disobedience. Because they thought that they could manipulate, they could control God. And we're going to just read on in that story today. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, the ark has been captured. The two sons of Eli, Eli's the high priest, the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. They died in battle. And now we hear that the news, this terrible news, that Hophni and Phinehas are dead and the ark has been captured, that news is going to be brought to the high priest Eli. And here's what it says. We start in verse 12 of 1 Samuel 4. That same day, the day of the battle, a Benjamite ran from the battle line and went to Shiloh. His clothes were torn and dust was on his head. And when he arrived there, there was Eli, sitting on his chair by the side of the road watching, because his heart feared for the ark of God. When the man entered the town and told what had happened, the whole town sent up a cry. Eli heard the outcry and he asked, "What is the meaning of this uproar?" The man hurried over to Eli, who was 98 years old and whose eyes were set so that he could not see. And he told Eli, "I have just come from the battle line. I fled from it this very day." Eli asked, "Well, what happened, my son?" And the man who brought the news replied, "Israel fled before the Philistines, and the army has suffered heavy losses. Also, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the Ark of God has been captured." And when he mentioned the Ark of God, Eli fell backward. He fell off of his chair by the side of the gate, and his neck was broken, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy, and he had led Israel for 40 years. His daughter-in-law, the wife of Phinehas, was pregnant and near the time of delivery. When she heard the news of the Ark of God that had been captured and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she went into labor and gave birth, but was overcome by her labor pains. And as she was dying, the women attending her said, "Don't despair. You have given birth to a son." But she did not respond or pay attention. She named the boy Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel." That's what the name Ichabod means. Because of the capture of the Ark of God and the deaths of her father-in-law and her husband. She said, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the Ark of God has been captured." Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your word. And I just pray, God, that you're going to speak now. And that you'll take away any fears, any distractions. That you'll open our hearts to hear you, Lord. We want to hear from you, God. We know that you are a mighty and a powerful God, but we also know that there's an enemy who causes great destruction, and he did it in the lives of the Israelites, and he's doing it in our lives too. He has every intention to destroy us. And he won't want us to hear this word, God. But he's not in control. He is not the Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. So we pray that you'll open our hearts, that you'll make us attentive, and that your word will penetrate our hearts today, and that you will withhold the enemy and drive him from this place so that we can hear good news. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we get this far in the story of Samuel, we get to the point where it seems like everything has gone wrong. I mean, all the wheels have fallen off the cart. Everything has gone wrong. The ark is gone. It's been captured by the worst enemy, the Philistines. The ark is gone. It's no longer with Israel. The high priesthood is a complete shambles. Hophni and Phinehas are dead. Eli falls over backwards in his chair, and he too is dead. And when I get to this point in the story, I think the logical question is, how did it ever get to this? How did it ever get to this? How did it get to this point? How did they ever get so far away from God that this kind of destruction and this kind of ungodliness ruled over the nation of Israel? How does it get to this point? And I think that's a main question today. I want to ask that question. And it's a question we need to ask. How does it ever get to this point? How does it get this bad? How does corruption become so prevalent? How does it happen? And here's the answer. I'm going to ask the question. I'm going to answer it right away so you know what the answer is. And the answer is, it happens one little bit at a time. That's how it happens. It happens just one little bit at a time. We're told that Eli was a very fat man. He was huge. We're not told his exact weight, but there's pretty good supposition that he was 300 pounds or more. He was so heavy he couldn't even get out of his chair. How did he get so fat? And the answer is, 1 pound at a time. 1 pound at a time. It happened gradually. It didn't just happen overnight. It happened gradually. And that's the same with the corruption. It didn't just happen all overnight. Because Satan is a deceiver and he's slimy. And he's sneaky, and he knows that if he shows us the full-out corruption, we'll go, "Oh, no, no, we don't want any part of that." But when he just shows us a little bit, and he says, "Just take this tiny step, it won't be a big deal, it won't matter,"
That seems appetizing. It seems reasonable to us. This corruption, how does this happen? It happens one tiny little step at a time. That's how it happens. And it's not just what happened back then. It's what happens today too. Do you know that there's just so much going on in the world today, but there's also so much going on in the church today. And there's a love for Jesus that's dying and an understanding of God's word that is waning. People don't know God's word anymore. There's a study that's pretty recent that says that, and this is about Christians, all right? It's not just about the general population, but in the world of born-again Christians, 25% of people who claim to be born again don't believe in a devil. They don't think that there is a Satan. And it's not any big surprise that 40% of that same group don't believe in a real Holy Spirit, not a Holy Spirit who is an entity, who is an actual entity. 40% of evangelical Christians say, I don't believe in the Holy Spirit. And then you wonder, you know, how does the church find itself in the situation that it's in today? It's because this is eroded slowly over time, just one little piece at a time. 18% of people who go to church every Sunday, 18% read their Bible every day. 19% never read their Bibles. And these are people, listen, these are people who go to church every day. 19% of them never read their Bibles, never. They don't open their Bibles. Wow. How does this happen? How do we get to this place where there's such lethargy and corruption and such a willful turning away from God? And the only answer is that, well, it happens slowly. And that Satan is a deceiver. You need to know this, and I know that you know that. You need to also know that he's real. Like, if you don't believe that, you're in the wrong church, for one thing, because you're going to hear over and over again, he is real, he is a real entity, he is at war, he wants your soul, he wants nothing more than to defeat you and to destroy you. That's exactly what Satan wants to do. But you need to know that he does that subtly. He does that carefully. He does it quietly sometimes. He doesn't come right out and say, well, here's what I want to do, Mick. I want to get in your life, and before long, I want to totally destroy it, and I want to destroy you with it. Are you in? Because he knows that Mick's going to say, no, I'm not in on that, right? But what he does is he does more of this. He goes, hey, how are you, Doug? You mind if I sit down? Yeah.
Hi, Satan.
Yeah.
Get the answer.
I was going to say I've called worse, but I actually haven't. You're scaring me when you do that. But he says the same, uses the same mode of operation as he did with Adam and Eve. He goes, that God, like, what kind of God is this that you believe in? You really believe in this God? Well, he's not a very good God if he won't let you eat of all the trees. Why wouldn't he let you eat all the trees? What kind of God is he? You know what, Don? You don't need this God. If you know what? If this is what this God is like, you don't need him. You know what? Let me tell you, Don. You can be God yourself. You can. And he whispers those sorts of things in our ears. And he's very subtle. He's very devious. One of the names for Satan in the Bible is Diabolos. He is the diabolical one. He is diabolical. He's sneaky. He knows where your weaknesses are. He's not omnipresent. He's not all-powerful. But he knows what buttons to push. He knows how to make you guys fight. He knows what'll set you off. And he wants nothing more. And you guys all know this passage, that he wants to steal, kill, and... He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants us to be a people who have no power. You have no power. You are just under his control. And he's a bully. He's a liar. He really is. There's the best way to describe this diabolical one. He's a liar, and he points at you because he's an accuser, and he says, you are a sinner. You're never going to amount to anything. You are no good, and you're mine. You might as well just give in. Just give in. You're mine. I know what you're going to say. You're mine. He works in small, incremental ways. And he gets us to, he says, there's a line. You know, that's the line God said. It's right there. Don't cross over it. And Satan says, well, he said don't cross over, but he didn't say you couldn't get close to it. Why don't you see how close you can get to it? What harm could that do? We won't cross the line. Jesus spoke in parables, and today, I don't really have a parable, but there's a story I want to tell you, and it's a true story, and it's going to have a little bit of violence in it. So it's at a certain point, you may have to plug your ears or plug your kids' ears. It's like a parable, and it's true, and it's something that has happened in our family just recently. I'm going to give all these disclaimers because I don't want everyone to walk out when a certain thing happens in the story. But it's a story that I really believe has become part of my life for this very moment so I could tell it to you. And it's a story about my dog, and you're going, oh, there goes that dog again. He always talks about that dog. Love my dog. Thank you. I love my dog too, but my dog is not the brightest dog in the world sometimes. And lately, she's been having a fight with a porcupine. We have a porcupine at our place, and my dog thinks with her nose. So what happened about 6 weeks ago or 7 weeks ago is she came home one night at about 11 o'clock at night, and we knew that she was out doing something. She's running around. We could hear her barking. She's barking always at coyotes or whatever. And she comes home, and she's got just full of these porcupine quills. And I looked at her and go, oh, Katie, what are you doing? What are you thinking? So we put her down, and we held her, and Crystal's got the back end, and I've got the front end. We're tying her up, and I got a pair of pliers, and you know how good my eyes are, right? So I'm going, I'm missing half the time because it's up close. And one at a time, I'm pulling out the quills, one at a time. There's 50 quills there, pulling out the quills, and there's blood, and it's a gruesome scene. And she just sits there, and just she knows that someone's got to help her, but she doesn't like it one bit because it's really painful. Anyway, 6 weeks ago, that's what happened to her. And we got all the quills out of her. And then about 4 weeks ago, about 11 o'clock at night, she comes home again, and she's doing this. She's just moving her head. And, oh, Katie, what did you do? You got a beak full of quills again. What is the matter with you, dog? What is the matter with you? And here we go again, the whole thing with the pliers. And at that time, my son Kane was home, so he helped hold her down. And it was even worse than the first time. You go, come on, dog. And, you know, and I'm going to stop and say a few things along the way, but you would think, here's what I hope. I hope my dog is smart enough that the next time that she runs up to that big porcupine and sees it with its back end at her, the next time she's about to put her nose into it, that she goes, hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I did this before, and it didn't really work out all that well. You know, I really want that dog to kind of figure it out, and you just think that she's going to, I know she's just crazy about this porcupine. She doesn't want it in our yard, and she's a protective kind of dog, so she thinks she's protecting us, but I really want to believe that she's going to get close to it, and she's going to go, whoa, this had a bad consequence the last time. Unfortunately, about 2 weeks ago, Katie came home, and I could just see the look on her face, and she was quoting, and I'm not kidding, this is really the truth, she was quoting Romans 7. Oh, the good that I want to do, I cannot do, and the evil I just keep doing. Oh, wretched dog that I am. Anyways, we held her down again, and we pulled him out again, you know. The truth is, though, isn't that what we're like? It's not just the dog, but how many times have you put your snout in that bottle, saying, I'm not going to ever put my snout back in that bottle again? How many times have you been back at the casino? You know you've lost your rent to the casino before. You know that when you go there, you're just going to get stuck with a lot of pain, and you do it anyways. How many times have we decided to fight with our spouse again, and we've picked a fight when we've known that all that's ever going to do is bring a whole lot of misery. You know, there's that porcupine, and we've all got something like that in our lives, and we just keep sticking our nose into it. And I just imagine that God goes, come on, you guys. Do you not get it? How many times am I going to have to bail you out of this? How many times do I have to pull those quills of your sin back out again? And you know, one of the interesting things about my dog is when I do that, she thinks that I'm mad at her. I mean, I am mad at her, but she thinks I'm hurting her You know, she goes, and after it's all done, she goes into another room and she lives there for 2 days. She doesn't come back to me because she knows that I inflicted pain on her, but she doesn't really get is that I had to inflict this pain on her to save her. And that's what God is like with you. Sometimes he has to inflict some pain in your life because he wants to save you. And we shy then away from him, and we find a corner to go huddle in, and we think, oh, that God of mine, he hurt me last night. He didn't mean to hurt you. He didn't want to hurt you. But he had to get the consequences of your sin out of your face. Now, let me tell you another thing that happened. When this all happened, I started looking online because I was desperate. I'm going, God, and I was praying to God too. We got to stop. This has got to quit. I do not want to spend my evenings pulling quills out of my dog's face. And one of the things I found out about porcupines is that a porcupine will often just sit there, and you can get close to it, and you think, well, I'm safe. And even though that animal is a very slow animal, one thing it can do quite quickly is it can turn sideways, and it can flick you with its tail. And that often, that's what happens with a dog. And I'm positive, because my dog's got to be smarter than this. I'm positive that what happens with my dog is she gets close to the line, and she gets close to that animal, and she thinks, okay, I'm at a pretty safe distance here. And the next thing she knows is she's been hit by the quill. How does this happen? Remember, that's the main question here today. How does it happen that we get to this place? And the answer is because we keep playing with a line. You and me both. There's a line. God says, don't cross over this line. Here is obedience. Here is disobedience. And what you should be doing is you should be staying as far from that line as possible instead of trying to get as close to it as you can. You should, if your problem is alcoholism, you shouldn't even have a bottle in your house. There should never be a cap that you smell. No triggers, nothing. You stay so far away from it that you have no temptation. But when my dog plays close to the line bites her back. And that's what happens in our lives. It's what happened in my life. And I know that it's what's happened in a lot of your lives too. We need to stay close to righteousness, close to Jesus Christ, and as far away from the enemy as we can. So now we get to the part where the cautionary words come that you may have to close your ears or close the eyes of your children if they're sitting with you. Because here's a dilemma I had. I mean, what do you do in this situation? I could tie my dog up, but she'll break through the chain, and she's not a dog that's going to stay tied up. I didn't know what to do. What are you going to do? I can't teach her. I tried to teach her, but how do you teach her not to stick her nose in a porcupine? I thought about building a fence, but my wife didn't want a fence, so that wasn't going to work. So I shot the porcupine. Now I know some of you are going to be so appalled, and I hope you're not going to walk out. But ultimately, you know what? If that's the solution, that's the solution. And Jesus defeated the enemy as well. You see, I think that there's I'm not trying to spiritualize everything, but I want to show you a couple passages. That, you know, we have an enemy, and he is Satan. But God knew that the only way that this was going to work is he'd have to defeat and he'd have to destroy Satan. There was no other solution. He couldn't put a fence around it. He couldn't tie us to a leash. He knew that he had to defeat the enemy. If you look in Revelation 20, it says that when the 1,000 years are over, verse 7, when the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison. He'll go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them, we're told. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. And they will be tormented there day and night forever and ever. And now back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. I want you to hear, this is especially important in Hebrews chapter 2, because he talks about the destruction of the enemy. In Hebrews chapter 2, it says this, verse 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. Let me read that again. This is really important. That by his death, by the death of Jesus, he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by a fear of that death. Let me tell you something this morning, that because of Jesus Christ, because of the cross, because of his death, the enemy has been defeated, and the day is coming when that enemy will be destroyed forever. He will be destroyed. That we don't have an enemy who's going to continue to war against us. There's a day when he will be thrown into the lake of fire and he will be destroyed and he will no longer be our enemy because we will live without his power and without his influence. But that it takes death. And here's what I'm trying to get at, I guess, today. It takes death to bring life. And it's the way God works. It takes death. It's our lives come out of death to have a new life. You got to die to yourself. You got to be crucified with Christ. That out of death, God brings life. Out of death, God brings hope. With spilled blood, there's redemption. We look at this passage and we go, man, this is a gruesome passage. There's a lot of people dying here. 30,000 foot soldiers lost their lives that day. Hophni and Phinehas are dead. Eli has toppled over backwards. He's broken his neck. Phinehas' wife in childbirth is going to lose her life. There's a lot of death here. But out of that death, I hope you can see this, out of that death comes tremendous hope and tremendous life. Because Samuel rises up as a judge and as a prophet over all of Israel. And it won't be long, and he will be anointing David, king over all of Israel. A man after God's own heart. It won't be long. And David will establish a new kingdom, a kingdom of God, and a kingdom where the glory is going to go to the living God. And it won't be that long, and Jesus Christ is going to be born in the household and in the lineage of David, and there's going to be hope for all mankind. Amen. But the hope, get this now, the hope for all mankind is that Jesus dies. He has to die. The only way that we're going to experience this life is if Jesus gives his life, right? It has to be death for life to happen. In Matthew, it says, unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, it'll only be one seed. But if it goes in the ground, it'll produce many seeds. And that's what happened with Jesus. He died. He went into the ground, but he gave us life. He poured out his blood. Jesus Christ poured out his blood so that I could be redeemed, right? God has taken care of the enemy. He's taken care of the enemy. God, through the cross, has defeated Satan. So no matter, yeah, you can clap to that. That's a good thing. No matter, here's the good news, no matter what we struggle with, we all struggle with something. I struggle with things. No matter what weakness you have or what brokenness you might have in your life, God is greater than your weakness and your brokenness. And the enemy who keeps breaking this thing in your life, he's been defeated. Do you believe that?
Yes.
You believe it. That enemy is defeated. That enemy has been dealt with on the cross. And new life comes out of the death of Jesus Christ. Right now, I have life that is abundant. Because Jesus said, I came that you would have life and that you would have it abundantly. Right? But what's even better than that is I'm going to have a life that's eternal. Right now, it's abundant. It's eternal too because it's set in heaven. But I have an eternal life that's coming. Like someone said earlier, we don't need to worry about our lives. You don't even need to worry that much about what's going on today or tomorrow. You're going to live forever. You're going to live forever. Thank you, Jesus. We need to understand that though. You need to understand that that porcupine is dead. When that porcupine died, when he gave up his life, I dug a deep hole and I buried him. That porcupine is dead. And we say today, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. Because, and here's an important thing, it isn't just Jesus who dies. And his death is the essential absolute price and payment that needed to happen. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But I need to die too, and so do you. And here's where the problem's been in some of our lives. We haven't been willing to die to ourselves. We haven't been willing to die with Christ. We haven't really been willing to say that out loud. I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. It is Christ who lives with me. He lives within me. I need to die to myself. I need to die to my will. I need to die to my ambitions, maybe. I need to die to my old nature. The Bible says that there's an old man that we all have. There's an old man. You need to bury that old man. And you guys know what that old man looks like. You need, thank you. Jeez, I do. You need to bury that old man. You need to die. That old man needs to literally be buried with Christ. Literally. I want you to say this with me. I know this sounds kind of hokey, but say it with me. I have been crucified with Christ. And it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. All right, that's good. We're getting there, but we're not done. Stand up, because I want to really hear you, and I want the demons, and I want Satan to hear this too. I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Woo! You can woo all you want, but we can do better than that, honestly. Honestly. I have been crucified with Christ.
I have been crucified with Christ.
And it is no longer I who live.
It is no longer I who live.
But Christ who lives in me.
Christ who lives in me.
Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I have been crucified with Christ. I declare that today. I declare that old nature to be buried. I declare that I no longer live by the passions of this world. I declare that I follow Jesus Christ. I declare that old man is dead once and for all. And I will no longer stick my nose where it does not belong. So, no. So now Sunday night, last Sunday night, I come home after prayer meeting, and Katie comes in the house, and she looks fine, but she's got, we look at her a little closely, and she's got two porcupine quills on her foot. I'm going, you wretched dog that you are. I can't figure out what's going on. I mean, I'm not surprised. Sometimes there's more than one porcupine. But, and I guess in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, better than 50 in the snout. You know, maybe she's learning something. Go to bed and pull those two out, whatever. And then the next morning, the sunlight comes out. And right next to my driveway is a dead porcupine. She dug it up. And there was still enough power in that death that she got a couple quills. But you know what? Like, again, a parable. Here's the parable. Don't we do the same thing? Don't we do the same thing? Don't you go to that hellhole and dig it up again and again and again? Even though, and hear me today, even though in Christ and in the cross, and because of his blood and because of his atonement, even though the old man is dead, it is completely dead. It couldn't be deader. You go back to that hole and you dig it up again time after time after time. And when we do that, we stink just as bad as my dog stunk because she rubbed her head in it and she just wanted that smell on her. Hey, you know what? We do the same thing. We want that stink of death. I don't know what draws us to that death. But we are no longer, it is no longer me. It is Christ who lives in me. And the message, what I want you to hear today is stop digging it up. Yeah. Stop going to that hole because Christ buried that old man in the hole for you. That is no longer you. That is no longer you. That is no longer you. You've been crucified with Christ. And I got to tell you this, you know, I didn't dig that thing down deep enough. And eventually what I did is I took it off the property, got rid of it somewhere else, because I didn't know when that dog was going to quit digging it up. But you know what we got to do? You know, the question is, we need to have the covering of us. We need to be covered with Jesus. And that's really what I want you to hear today. That old man, that old demonic-filled, lying, cheating man that has been buried with Christ. You need to keep covering that man with the blood of Jesus. You need to keep covering it with Jesus and with his righteousness and with his holiness. We need to do that because here's the honest truth. We have this attraction to that smell. There's something about that hole and about that old man in there. There's a compulsion sometimes. I just want to go there and dig it up and see if it's still there. But it's dead. Do you hear me? It is as dead can be. It's dead. That old Linda is not around anymore. That old Tim, there is no old Tim. That old Tim is dead. There's only a new Tim. And Roger, you are a brand new creation in Christ, the Bible says. But listen, if you aren't covering yourself with Jesus, you're still in a dangerous place because you're going to tend to go right back to that hole and dig it back up again and stick your snoot in it. As stupid as that sounds, you will do it. And so will I. I'm not calling you stupid. I'm calling us stupid, okay? We'll do that unless we're covered with Jesus. And so here's the key thing. We need to have as much of Jesus in our life because he's the atoning sacrifice. We need to be so immersed in Jesus Christ that there is no more of that old enemy in our lives. We need to be in the Word. We need to know God's Word. We need to be reading God's Word. We need to be a people of prayer. We need to be praying and praying and praying. We need to be baptized. If you want to get buried, you get buried with Jesus in baptism, and you will find out that that enemy's gone. And by the way, we're going to have a baptism service in about a month. So if you want to be baptized, you haven't been baptized, join some of the ones that have already talked about it. I don't know how we're going to do it yet, but we're going to have a tank up here. There's going to be a baptism service. What a great way. What a great way to get buried. I want to get buried in Christ, so I don't need to keep digging up. I don't need to keep digging up that old man. Get in the Word. Get in prayer. Be a part of worship. You need to be here. Not because we're counting how many people are here. I don't care. I could care less how many people are here. I have to be here because I need to be engaged in worship. I need to continue to bring it to God. I need more and more of Jesus. I need more and more of Jesus in my life. You hear that? I need that covering because I don't bury that old man deep enough unless it's covered completely with the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. I'm going to end with this today. I want to pray for you if this is true in your life, that when you hear this word, you hear the message, you go, man, I know exactly what he's talking about. This may not be you, that's fine. But if this is you, I want you to stand up in a minute, and I'm just going to pray because I really believe in this power of prayer. But if you're saying, I do exactly what he's talking about, I go back to that hole, I go back to that death, and I keep digging it up again. And if it's time, and you know by the working of the Holy Spirit right now, because God's Spirit is speaking to you. If it's time that ends, if it's time that you stop digging away to find what Jesus has died for and what Jesus has dealt with, if it's time that you never go back and try to resurrect that old man, and you know that's what God's saying to you right now, I'm going to ask you just to stand. Man. Wow. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. So, God, we know that you hear us, and you've been speaking, and your word is powerful. And we're standing right now because there's something in our lives that we never want to go back to again. And inexplicably, we have this attraction. It doesn't make any sense, God. We don't know why we want to go back to it. But inexplicably, even though we know what kind of damage it has done, even though we know how it's ruined our lives in the past, we still are drawn back to that sin, God. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will break that you will break the power of canceled sin right now. Right now, God, that we will no longer have that draw. We will no longer have that attraction. We will no longer feel that compulsion to go back to that dead hole. Never again, God. That you will set us free and that we choose life today. Today we choose life. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And we say it out loud, God. We say it out loud. And we pray, God, that you would show us your complete victory and your complete destruction of the enemy in our lives. That we no longer need to go back. That we can move forward. That you set your people free because I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. So right now, God, I just pray that you will set your people free. And we have nowhere else we can go. Lord, there's no one else I can call on. You're the only one who can do this. But we pray in faith right now. We pray believing because we know right now you're listening and that is your will by your death to give us life. We claim life today. We claim life because of Jesus and because of the covering of your blood. Hallelujah. Lord, you know our hearts, and you know the people are standing right now. And Lord, you know we're serious. We wouldn't be standing if we're not serious. And I guess, God, the truth is, we are just so sick and tired of coming home with our noses filled with quills and being smacked again by that enemy. We're so tired, God. We're weary. And yet that's why we come to you. And you tell us, just come. Come to me. Even though you're weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, today we believe in complete victory. We believe, Lord, that we're not going back to the bottle. We're not going back to the crack pipe. We're not going back to the casino. We're not going back to a life of greed or of lies and deception. Lord, none of that. We leave it behind. We leave it behind to follow you. We want to take up our cross and we follow you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for the hope that you give us. Thank you, God, that what you put to death never rises again except Jesus. Only you, Jesus. And that by your resurrection, we have the power over death. And we have the power over hell. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, God. We're going to sing this song, but if you have, you know, other things you need to pray about, some other need in your life, you just need to chat, don't leave. Come on to the front. Even while we sing this song, you just come and pray and get on your knees.
In moments like these, I sing a song.
Let's stand.
I sing a love song to Jesus. Moments like these, I lift up my hand, I lift up.